hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some no matter what.
Raise your glasses, everyone. Ching, ching, ching. It's a fancy episode. I'm Kale, part of the test pilot crew, joined by Mark.
Hey, that's me.
The king of the test pilot crew, let's be honest.
I mean, I'm a founding member of the test pilot crew.
Yeah, I don't know what that's like. And we're missing another founder, the queen of the test pilot crew, but which is why we're doing no matter what.
First addition to the test pilot crew. She's not a founder.
She's not a founder.
Well, I mean.
So what, the other founder's just dead and gone?
Well, and I don't even know if we'd class Andrew as a founder. Because are you a founder of something if you're only... I'll take you back to the history of the forming of
Test
Pilot.
Just want to say right now, real quick, I'm just wearing some TP merch, Test Pilot merch. Got the cap on, feels snug on my head. But yeah, no, please take me back.
I mean, I'm just trying to figure out the answer to like what makes a founder of something. You know
right.
what I mean? Like
what makes a king?
Yeah, like if you were like, say you've just gotten a boat. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm floating. I'm sick already.
And you land at like a new patch of land that's never been discovered before, yeah?
It has, I get you.
In this scenario.
Right, like
look. We're talking there's not even anyone.
Not even a native.
There's no natives.
Yeah, right, yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, in this scenario.
The Galapagos.
It's crazy.
It's so weird that there's just not a single native that's ever graced these lands.
You're looking at me like, what the fuck happened at the Pangaea stage?
Yeah.
That they all avoided this
that's
area.
Right. Maybe we should avoid it too, but nah.
No. So you get there and like, you're with like you're the captain of a boat, really,
mm-hmm.
and all the way when you're trying to get to the land, like say before you leave on the voyage, okay, someone comes to you and you're having a conversation, and they say like, we should go on a voyage, yeah,
yep,
yeah.
And oh then, yeah, yes.
And then what you do is like you organize the boat. You kind of like figure out like the maps, you know, like you pay for like the boat.
Yeah.
And you like,
and then
form a crew.
And it's a boat that has sails.
Yeah, it
has a crew. And then that other than the person that you said, let's go on a voyage, shows up with an oar.
Yeah.
And goes,
yeah.
I brought an oar.
That kind of thing. And it's also like,
that's for a rowboat.
Yeah. It's a sailboat. So like, and you have to figure out how to use a sailboat. So you spend a bit of time like researching like,
right.
how does a sailboat work,
okay.
how to man a sailboat, how to properly work
once
out.
Once you have the sailboat, how do you actually get it on the water?
Exactly, that kind right. of thing. So you've done all that work up front, yeah? Mm-hmm. And the guy who says like, oh yeah, let's go on this voyage together, he comes along. And don't get me wrong, like he's pleasure to have on the boat.
Yeah.
Sometimes he
taught
says-
taught you about scurvy.
Yeah.
Brought fruit.
Sometimes he says some questionable things on the voyage and you're like, oh, I don't know.
We'll
edit around that in your memory. In your memory, we'll edit around.
They're
that
all 18 in a foreign country.
Exactly.
It's like, is that really?
Exactly. If there are natives here, we'll just kill them. That kind of stuff.
Questionable.
Yeah. Referring to them as Indians, no matter what. Like,
yeah, that's
like,
wild. Yeah. That one's wild.
I was like, we're nowhere near India.
Yeah,
he's like, yeah. But if there's people on this country, they're Indians, right?
That's a weird looking Indian, he might say to someone that doesn't look like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when you get there, you know, you get to the new land, somewhere along the voyage.
You start building the town. Yeah, it's going well.
It's going well.
You think it's going really well.
Surprisingly on the voyage, like you recruit someone else on. And there's
right.
and there's people who kind of like,
I see.
There's people who show up every now and then.
To diversify the crew.
Exactly.
To diversify the crew.
It's
right.
The crew's really one thing. And so you think, let's get another voice in here.
Right.
You bring them on board. Kind of like a cultural correspondent in a way.
Yeah, they have some fun ideas.
Great
ideas. They bring
ideas.
A new element
exactly.
to the ship.
Exactly. The ship needs that new element, okay? And along the way, like every now and then you'll pass a boat and one of the boat people on that boat will come on. And
one of the boat people?
One of the boat people will come on your boat and they'll just hang around.
Now they're part of the family.
That's a good way to put it. They're kind of part of the family
right.
from then on.
Boat family.
And some people will come back a couple of times. Other people will just come up for one episode. One mm-hmm. person will come on the thing and they'll do Fleabag and they'll look at their phone the whole episode.
One voyage, sorry.
That's
you
fine.
Said episode.
Oh, sorry, yeah. One voyage.
We're on a boat.
We're on a boat. So you get to the new land, okay? Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're there. Oh, a founding a new land. There's no one here.
Yeah, a lot of... important to mention. It's one of those. It's one of those Pangea things where at the Pangea they decided like
at the Pangea.
At
yeah.
the Pangea, they were like. They were like, let's just let this one go.
Here we are at Pangea. Oh, look at that splitting off. Do we, Michael, you wanna, no?
Nah, Michael's busy. Get it out of here.
Michael's busy. He's too busy with proper land.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this land's all by itself.
And it's small.
I just, one thing to mention about this land.
Yeah.
A lot of lands like this, exactly like this land already exist.
Yeah.
But a lot of those lands.
A lot of voyages.
Yeah, a lot of people who go on those voyages kind of quit after a couple of voyages.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can find a lot of similar lands.
But you as a voyager had a dream.
I thought, yeah, other people have done this, but have they committed to over 100 times? So we voyage.
So now you've reached the land. You're building this town. You're trying to
a lot of hard work.
And the three of you.
Yeah.
The three main people on the boat, you're doing great together.
Doing great together. I will say a lot of the building still happening on one person's shoulders.
Right.
I will notice that I found that while we were setting up the land, sure they made appearances, maybe an hour a week.
Right.
But a lot of the behind the scenes things in the setting up of the land.
Sure, like it's all well and good to put a piece of lumber in place. Yeah. Maybe bang a hammer to a nail.
Yeah.
But you know, you gotta cut the trees.
Yeah.
You gotta cut the trees. You gotta decorate that wood. You gotta smooth it out.
It's good. You're making a lot of sense here. So we'd set up the land and like looking around and I'm starting to look. I'm like, hold on a second. This once simple land is turning into a small city.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is going really well. Then all of a sudden, this founding member on the voyage.
To the land,
he decides. He or she, it was a him. He decides that he doesn't. Yeah. He's had his fill of the land.
I don't like this town anymore.
Yeah. I don't like this town anymore. It's actually a big commitment for me.
I'm done with voyaging.
Yeah. I'm gonna maybe in the future I'll do another voyage.
Mm.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Right.
And so is he a founding member? That's the question at the crux of
right.
it.
Right. You know,
or was he a passenger? Was he always a passenger?
Yeah, and then you found this starving boy on the side of the island, washed up on the rocks. And you took me in, you fed me, you've clothed me now.
Yeah,
You know.
So that's the history of voyaging, I guess, yeah. Or Tespa.
And I may not be a founding member myself, but I'll certainly be there when this thing dies.
I think that's fair. Who knows when that will be?
Yeah, hopefully never.
Maybe never. Maybe it'll be that thing where like...
you know what? I think it dies when I die.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Or when you die.
I'm putting a... when you die, because I'm really planning on living
an anti-death clause.
I've actually, in the test pilot contract, I wrote an anti-death clause, and I'm pretty sure that's going to cover me. But what I'm going to do when you die is I'm going to keep it going.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to bury a microphone with you.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you were like, he actually said this on a podcast, you're like, you run up to my mum. No, sorry, Mrs. Yeah. Leek, you have to hear this.
Yeah.
Bury me with a mic. Bury me with a mic. And if you could gather every offensive thing I ever said on the pod and play it to the people mourning my death at the time, I'd love that. Seriously, just let Mark do whatever. Yeah. I trust him completely.
I'm holding a boombox over my head.
And you're just playing it on repeat?
Yeah. And I also haven't pre-planned.
You have like horns and shit going.
There's no pre-planning done as well. So what I'm doing is like midway, I show up as you're getting buried because I've had a big morning.
Mrs. Bouvier!
And I'm drilling into the coffin just so I can run the mic, run the cable through. Your family are watching you getting buried.
Trust me, this is what he wanted. Hi, and seriously, I'm just as torn up as you. You don't mind if I record? I am actually recording this already for an episode. Hey, Mum. Also, just the whole funeral, I just want to be also recorded and sort of emceed by Mark. So if you could do that for me, thanks. Let him do it, I should say.
Something that I think bears mentioning now that we're at least 10 minutes into this episode. There's a couple of things special about this episode. The first special thing is for the first time ever on a test pilot or a no matter what, this is a no matter what today, we are drinking drinks with ice in them.
Okay. Yeah.
And I very much think that's going to come through in the mix.
I mean, we've already announced that it's a very fancy episode where we're raising our drinks.
Yeah.
Let's raising our cups. Yeah. Hold on. Hold on, cheers. Just over each. Cling. Yeah, you heard that.
The other thing to mention is contradictory to the opening theme of No Matter What. We've had a couple of weeks off, and that's due to. Is that a plane break?
We're getting closer. Jet. Yeah. So that's because there's a plane flying over. If you didn't know by now, maybe this is the first time you've heard No Matter What. I doubt it, though. Yeah, it's because there's a jet flying over.
Now I'm going to let till we get to the tempo change.
Okay. Because you love that part.
I love that bit. Is it coming right now?
Yeah. It's a real swayer. You sway with your best gal. Jet.
I'm never sure if that is a tempo change. You know what I mean? Like, it might not be.
If that's like what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I'm not a musician, so I don't actually know.
You do love music though.
I like music. I like when they play the music.
Yes.
You know, those two guys.
Oh yeah. No, they rock it.
The other thing we have to mention, which I was going into, is we've had a couple of weeks off, and that's due to mainly a sickness in the family.
Yeah.
You've been a little bit sick, Kale. So if you're hearing some coughing and stuff on this episode, grow up. Like, get used to it.
Take it easy. It's like, look, Mark is a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to this. So he really tries hard to get things clean and tidy.
Yeah.
He runs a tight ship, as you could say.
Yeah.
But, you know, me, I'm a sloppy slop bag. I'm scum. So I don't care. I'll cough. I'll jingle my ice in my glass. Like, it's just, I'll make it impossible. I'll be talking, you know, but you also know me. I'm coming in with the jokes. It might be the best part of the episode coming out of this guy.
Yeah.
Cling, cling, cling. Like, I don't give a shit. So I'm just saying, good luck cleaning this one up.
I've taken a more lax approach.
See, he can't help it. He's so anal.
He can't not clink. That's the thing.
When you put six cubes in a glass, or however many I put
it's
in
literally the, six, yeah, which is yeah, quite yeah, impressive.
Yeah, yeah. When you put six cubes in a glass, it's kind of impossible to do anything with that cup.
We're drinking cold brew.
Yes, cold brew. Fancy. Brewed by Mel.
Thank
you, Mel.
Very fancy. So it's been a little while. We haven't caught up for a little bit. This huge, huge things have actually happened for the No Matter What world, I guess. I guess you could say that a big part of No Matter What over the last couple of months has been the fact that we have kind of emerged as one of the only people willing to go past picket lines.
You know, there's a lot that can be read from just the name of us, No Matter What.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
If you're striking, we're going to get that back. But the issue with this... I mean, this is slowly becoming like kind of like an important update in the world of media and bad news as far as our jobs are concerned, because as you know, we've been writing a lot of scripts, we've been getting a lot of money, we've been selling a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that was going fine, but recent announcements have happened.
Oh God.
The Screen Actors Guild are also striking now. So
oh dear.
We're gonna have to get very interesting in our casting of films from now on because
right.
You know, we used to be able to get the Tom Cruises, the Meg Ryans.
Well, you see, what you were saying before about, you know, we have to we speak on the tragedies or we speak on the bad news. Sometimes the one band's bad news is two men on a podcast's good news.
Exactly.
So that's why we take the dark side of Hollywood.
Yeah.
We
yeah.
take the allegedlies. Yeah.
Yeah.
We snatch up all the bad doers, all the unforgivables, if you will.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And we bring them in. We bring them into the family.
It's a back to back.
That's a back to back jet. someone's not doing their job over at the old airport. Because there's jets.
It's just irresponsible. Like, they should have, like, maximum one plane leave a day.
I write a note every week.
Yeah.
Whether we do this pod or not, I write one every week to the airport. Sometimes threatening, you know?
Tempo change. Maybe. Who knows?
It could be a tempo change. It's definitely a shift. But then, of course... Jet.
It's gone. The plane's gone. Now the thing to consider here is I like to think of the No Matter What boys as being quite agile. We're never scared to take on a challenge. And obviously everyone involved in the Screen Actors Guild refusing to work now.
It's wild.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's a lot of talent out there who aren't in the Screen Actors Guild.
There's a lot of talent just outside of America.
That's the thing.
Let's just turn a blind eye to America for a second, because we all know we're witnessing an empire fall. Yeah, you know, it's coming.
Oh, it's chaos over there.
It's fucking grumbling, dude.
But you know, there's a lot of great countries out there.
Oh, yeah.
Russia, China.
Yep.
Afghanistan.
Uh-huh.
All the heroes of the story. The heroes Iran. Of the story.
You know, can we say
North Vietnam.
Is it a coincidence that all of these countries, like North Korea, as you said, is it a coincidence that all of these countries have been enemies of America? It's like they have the best talent pools, but they're trying to squash them like bugs.
Yeah, it's actually insane what they're doing. And all I'm saying is that, like, you know, we're still going to cast A-list actors. We're still going to be doing our job. But what we're going to do is we're going to cast whoever we want.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going to have to pass the picket line.
Now, this one's controversial, but some people say that 9/11 was actually just a job done by method actors.
Wow.
And they didn't know what was happening until the very end.
That is controversial. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Apparently Mark Wahlberg could have stopped the whole thing. But well, we've gone down that road,
I believe.
I guess what I'm just trying to get at here is loyal no matter what fans. I know that you've been listening along and you probably have only gotten news on the strike through this podcast.
Yeah.
That's understandable.
Hey, I have.
Yeah, it's understandable. And I know that a lot of people at home, they would have read about the Screen Actors striking along with the writers and they would have said, oh no.
Mm.
Does that mean we truly are in the land of the lost?
Is it time to panic?
Do we panic? Should I, like, what should I be literally doing right now? Because I'm thinking about getting violent.
Yeah. What am I setting fire to? Are there cars to be tipped?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I say, just don't worry, because a couple of things I'll just tell you right now. Thing number one is that we do this no matter what.
Yeah.
Does that mean cutting a deal with the Screen Actors? Maybe we'll do that. We'll probably just tell them to cross the picket line though. Like, to be honest, we're hot commodities right now.
I mean, look, will we start our own guild? I don't know. How do you start a guild? Does it matter? It's like, what do we have to offer them? Like dental?
Yeah, what do
they do?
Why are they calling themselves guilds?
I don't know. That sounds like D&D stuff. Don't get me wrong. Love it.
Yeah.
Love a guild.
You don't hear many other guilds, do you?
Societies.
Yeah. Screen Actor Society even sounds better.
Yeah.
Guild is pretty sick though.
Screen Actors Society, sass? Dude, are we about to sass the world?
Let's start a guild.
Let's get sassy.
Yeah.
Screen Actors.
All right. What we'll do is we'll trademark the Screen Actors Society.
Of course.
And then we'll start going to the picket lines and be like, yeah, this is cool and everything, but like, what are you playing, D&D?
Yeah.
Are you a fucking nerd?
Cool guild, guys.
Because the thing about
actors. What are you, in a hobbit hole?
Yeah. The thing about actors is they were all the most popular kid in their school.
They hate being referred to as a loser.
They do not want to be seen as nerds. So we'll go up and be like, a guild.
Oh.
Is this like some Lord of the Rings shit? Like,
sorry,
this,
where's Gandalf?
this is actually kind of lame.
Yeah.
Shit. All right. I guess actors aren't cool now. And they'll be like, oh, okay. Already, I'm starting to get like anxious. I'm not feeling good about the fact that this guy, the bag boy, is calling me a nerd.
Yeah.
And they're like, what can I do? And
what's a Lord of the Ring?
Yeah. I've never even heard
that's what
that.
They're saying to themselves.
And the craziest thing is, the person I'm saying this to right now, Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know.
He doesn't know. Yeah. And so we go like, I guess guilds could be cool. And they're like, oh, I'm feeling confident. And I'll be like, if there wasn't already a Screen Actors Society, and then they're like,
oh, what's this?
What's that? I've never even heard of that.
You even had a sass.
Wow. You must really be a loser.
Sass, that sounds cool to say. That's right.
Yeah, it does. Sound cool.
You know what doesn't sound cool? Sag.
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 Mm.
Oh, yeah. I love it when things sag.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. And that's another thing that actors do not want to hear about themselves, that they've been sagging lately.
Yeah. Oh, have you been like sagging?
Also,
in
just
Lord
change
the Rings?
One letter. We've got a problem.
Ooh. Now, this is interesting. Now, this is a bit of a brain teaser.
Yeah. 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 Which letter is it?
Well, change one letter. Oh, I was thinking of adding a letter, and all I came up with was sage. And
okay.
I was like, that's not that bad.
That's not that bad. No.
Change one letter.
Yeah.
Oh, we do not want to change that letter.
You don't want to change that
we
letter.
We don't want to change that letter. It'd be like, we're going.
Problematic.
Yeah. 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 Did you pick it because it rhymes with something? I don't know. This whole thing seems a bit weird to me.
Yeah.
This is what we're saying to your Orlando Blooms, your Timothy Chalamets, your Meg Ryans, you know?
Yep.
And eventually we're going to get them all on board. We're going to be like, We've actually heard of this really cool group. They actually meet in an abandoned Pizza Hut.
Dude. And the crazy thing is, though, it is abandoned, but guess what? We got the staff back.
We got the staff.
We got the pizza rolling, baby.
That was the hardest bit. That was
really hard. They're ancient.
Yeah. You know, like, you know when you watch, and we make a lot of
them. One was the CEO of his own company. He's making millions, but he's come back to cook the pizzas.
All we had to do for him is we showed up. He's got one of those offices that's all glass, baby.
Yeah.
And we show up.
Yeah.
And we kick the door in.
Oh, yeah. Smash.
Admittedly, I had never kicked open a glass door. You wouldn't believe it. They shatter like a motherfucker.
I thought it would be reinforced. I thought you'd hit it and it'd be like bulletproof glass, yeah. At least. A guy rolling this high.
Flimsy as hell. So we smash in the glass. He's at his desk.
You smash it. I loved it. No, this was hilarious. Mark kicked the door in. And then he's like, whoa. And Mark just looks at him dead in the eye and goes, whoops. Killed me. It slayed me.
So then I put into I've been wearing a bum bag recently during this whole thing because
and you've been wearing it well.
Getting into the whole pizza boy vibe. So I pull out a name tag from my bum bag and I just throw it on the desk and it rolls across to him and he looks down and says his name on it.
How did you get this?
This is my deepest, darkest secret.
I buried this.
And I go, you win. And that was enough. He quit the job on the spot.
Because that's the thing. What he didn't know and what I knew is that also in that bum bag is that you had some garlic bread.
Yeah.
And there's just the smell wafting out, hitting him in the nose, seeing the name tag.
He saw it float across the room, hit his nose, and then he went silent for 20 minutes with tears in his eyes.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a whole thing of getting the old crew back together, you know, like one of them.
Honestly, I swore at one point I thought he was going to kill himself, instead he showed up in uniform. It still fit, kind of. It was definitely his old uniform.
A lot of them went to work on like old oil rigs, so we had to go all around the world.
So weird. Yeah. A lot of people went from pizza
to oil
to
rig.
Oil rigging. Yeah.
It was difficult. One of them was a helicopter pilot.
That was cool. That guy was cool.
He was actually cool. We called him Ace.
Hey, helpful for the delivery guy.
Yeah, that was sick. So we got the whole crew back together.
Yeah. Which wasn't like, I mean, that wasn't, we didn't set out to do that really.
Yeah.
Like obviously we wanted to start SAS. We wanted to get the Screen Actors Guild. We wanted to get their actors to SAS, the Screen Actors Society. Sounds sexy.
Sounds really
good.
How many
S's can you chuck in there? It's just sex. But honestly, along the way, creating the getting the Pizza Hut back up and running.
It felt good.
Honestly, I love going there.
Yeah. It was that thing like we bought the building and we were like, when the real estate agent took us around the building, a lovely, lovely woman, she seemed a bit clueless, but she was lovely. She took us around the building. She's like, it's a real, you know, this is a real handyman's dream.
We really just can't seem to sell it though.
No one's interested.
I mean, what? It's been hanging around since like early 2000s.
Yeah, and she's like, just no one will buy this. I think it's a full teardown job. And then I'm looking around and I look at the hot plates and I'm looking at the wiring and I'm like, this is still good to go.
Yeah.
I look at the cash register's still there. So, everything's looking great.
So you want about Pizza Hut and their quality of pizza? They build a mean oven.
You know.
They build them to last
lifetimes.
Yeah, that's German engineering.
And so I'm looking around.
But there's no Germans.
And this lady keeps saying, like, this is a real handyman's dream. You know, it's going to take a lot of work to do this one up. I'm looking around. I'm like, lady, you don't know the gold mine you're sitting on
right
now.
It's like, maybe it's going to be a fixer-upper. Maybe it's going to take a lot of time. If you don't use it for what it's intended.
Yeah.
We're about to use it for what it's intended.
Yeah. It's going to be a functioning restaurant / Screen Actors Society meeting hall.
Of course.
And I think it's only
a functioning restaurant when it's a Screen Actors Society meeting hall.
Oh yeah, for sure. This is another thing. For all intents
and purposes, it's abandoned.
Yeah.
We do not fix up the outside.
No.
We barely fix up the inside, as we said.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut engineering is like, oof.
Top notch. And that's another kind of selling point. Like when we were going around to, you know,
Elijah.
Yeah, Elijah Wood, Scarlett
Rings
Johansson.
Rings on Men.
Meg Ryan. We'd go around to them and we'd be like, you can stay in this guild. Sure. Yeah. Elijah, you look like the kind of guy who kind of gets off on the fact that it's called a guild.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm sure you think that's cool. You know what's cooler than that? Free pizza.
Oh, yes. You got to hit him with the pizza angle.
And then he's like, okay, I like that. And he's like, but the thing about
He's like, how much free pizza?
Yeah.
How about all you can eat?
And he's like, okay, I'm getting even more excited. But what you need to understand, I'm a Hollywood A-lister.
Yeah,
I'm Elijah true. Motherfucking Wood. I can't just show up.
He really goes where he pleases.
I can't just show up at a pizza joint. I'll be in every single tabloid magazine. Mm. I'll be like, Elijah, what if I told you there's a pizza joint that no one is allowed in unless they're a member of the Screen Actors Society.
And it's completely banned. And guess what? No one knows about it.
Yeah. The staff, half of them live on oil rigs, mate.
Yeah.
They don't even own camera phones.
One of them was a very rich man.
Yeah, he was very rich.
He was so rich.
He gave it all up just to serve
Elijah,
you.
Elijah, I need you to hear me. We broke him. And we can
husk of his former self.
We can break you.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that. We want you to
come get a, come grab a slice. Just grab a slice.
Yeah.
You don't have to join anything straight away.
Yeah.
Come grab a pie. Get a slice. We got great garlic bread. That's when you sort of unzip the old, just slightly.
I think, and once,
I know what you've done.
And once that smell hits his nose,
wafting.
You can see him go silent for 10, 15 minutes, tears well up in his eyes, and we've broken him. We've absolutely broken him.
I look him in the eye, go, one slice to bind them.
Huh? Yeah.
Huh, Elijah? What do you think? I'm on a little cheese, just a marg. Hold the marg in front of his face. Huh?
It's a real people pleaser, the marg as well.
Yeah.
Everyone likes a marg.
Yeah, it's one slice.
So, yeah, people.
Yeah, and once we get Elijah, they start falling like dominoes.
Oh, true. You just have to get a couple of big wigs.
Because the thing about Elijah and why people respect him is because he goes where he pleases now, you know?
Yeah.
He does whatever project he wants.
Oh, he's not bound to that Hollywood bullshit.
No, he's not chasing the next big screen. You know, I don't think I'll ever see him in a Marvel film, and that's fine.
That's fine.
That's Elijah's path, you know? Yeah.
I mean, if he wants a bag, he'll do it. If I was his agent, I'd be like, let's get them on the phone.
That's
Elijah.
Right. I mean, if Elijah was like, I want to be in a Marvel film, immediately they'd be like, Tom Holland, see you later. You're the new Spider-Man.
Yeah. I don't think anyone would complain about that.
Yeah.
He'd actually be a great Spider-Man.
I think he would too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know who else I think is going down the old Elijah path? Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh, Radcliffe does whatever the fuck he wants.
It's great. I love when you get these people that were in such polarizing roles and then they just kind of lay low for a bit.
Yeah.
Do like a few strange things, like show your dick on stage.
That's a
great Radcliffe move.
I honestly think that's
a Radcliffe.
Oh God, there's another plane break.
Oh, I'm going to jingle some ice. Why not? See, it says jet because there's a plane flying over. So we want you to know that we're taking a quick jet break. Not all of these jet breaks make it into the edit, or they do. I don't know. I don't listen.
Ended it before
the tempo.
The tempo.
Yeah.
People are going to be furious.
We should ask John. He'd know.
Yeah. How could he know?
I don't know.
It's too confusing.
John confuses me. I think he's a very competent man.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he could know nothing, you know? And then but that's his charm.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'll go to John for answers, but sometimes he doesn't know.
Back to Daniel Radcliffe. I think that's like the big moment for him where like the first thing he did after Harry Potter, people are like, what's he going to do next?
Wasn't it in between films though?
I feel like
he did the stage thing before Deathly Hallows or the
because they were like you're really known for Harry Potter, like the world's your oyster.
What are you gonna do next?
And he's just like, I'm just gonna get my dick out on stage with a horse.
I'm gonna get because he is. I've seen pale people.
Yeah.
Radcliffe is pale.
Yeah.
To the point where like his skin is near translucent.
He's got that weird blue to him.
Yeah. So when his dick's out, I imagine you're seeing veins and all.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like. But not like where it's like it's a meaty, girthy piece. I don't know. I've never seen it. I obviously didn't see the stage show.
Yeah.
But I mean like you're seeing through his dick skin.
Yeah.
And you are just seeing the inner workings of the car.
Translucent.
Yeah. I think that's the name of the show, Translucent.
Yeah. That's cool of him to like – a lot of scientists didn't understand how dicks worked like for so many years now. Because the thing about science is in order to figure it out, you'd have to cut one open and look at it. And no guy was willing to let him do that.
No, and it took a brave female scientist to actually even start questioning how does a penis work.
And then Radcliffe went on stage and people finally got to see inside a dick.
Ooh.
And they were like, I cannot believe that's what's in there. And that was a big moment for human history.
Yeah, when they learned that the penis is connected to the balls.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Who would have thought?
What the fuck is going on
with that? I thought Balls, before Radcliffe got on stage, I thought balls were purely just something to give men a weakness.
Yeah.
A weak spot.
We're so strong.
Yeah. We're so powerful.
We're so powerful and strong. That's kind of how men work. Actually, this is actually starting to feel like a bit like an episode of Boys Talk.
How do you break the unbreakable?
Hello and welcome to a very special Daniel Radcliffe episode of Boys Talk, the only show where two men in their 30s sit on microphones talking to each other about dicks and balls.
Yeah, we're the only ones that do it in quite a fashion that we do.
This is a big, big episode because we're talking about dick and ball history.
Yeah, we're usually talking about the origins.
We usually are pretty much talk about current dick and balls on this podcast.
Like our own.
Like our own dick and balls.
How they're sitting, how they're feeling. Sitting.
I believe Andrew once said he's sit in like a division type symbol, which was an interesting episode. You'll have to find out which episode that was yourself. I don't quite remember.
I feel like that'd have to be a choice. Yeah. You know, every time he's sitting down, he's just kind of like putting one on top
plopping
of the
a
other.
Ball on top of the doodle. Yeah. Now, this is the only episode where we've gone into dick and ball history, talking about how Daniel Radcliffe showed the world what was the innards of a dick and ball.
Yeah.
And,
scientific study ever done. People would have, you know, just because, fuck no, I ain't cutting my dick open for you.
It was two things. It was a lot of, they kept asking men, and all men were going, that's my manhood. That's what gives me my power. You're not allowed to cut it.
Yeah.
And all the other men, scientists, they were going, no, I'm actually heterosexual.
Yeah.
I'm not going to touch that. I'm not touching that.
Because I also understand how powerful it is.
Yeah. And if I was to touch that, I'm scared that other doctors who are also all heterosexual
will think that I'm batty, but
that I'm a gay man.
Listen,
we've come a long way as this was early 1920s.
And one of the issues is that you get your form, right? It's like, do you want to dedicate your body to science? It's like heart, yes. Lungs, yes. Then at the very bottom it goes, can we see your dick?
Yeah.
And
No one has ever clicked yes.
It's the only yes no box tick where no is actually the first box presented. All the others is yes no yes no yes. This one's no.
Yeah.
Big space. Yes.
Yeah. The sizing was weird as well. Like the no box is almost 10 times bigger than yes box.
Yeah, you can tell the form was written by a man.
And then it does say it says yes. Open parentheses. Yep. Trust me, you don't want to tick this. Close parentheses.
It's like, yeah. It's like, no, definitely no. Yes, with an are you sure? It's just the boxes. Are you sure that you have to tick?
Yeah.
And then it's yes again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a little.
It's a two-tick process.
It's very hard to actually get through that stage. Yeah, so I understand why no one's clicked it before or ticked it. and so, yeah, it is a difficult one. And
Then along comes Radcliffe.
Yeah, Radcliffe. People are like, I'm sorry, I know him. He's in Harry Potter. He's a little wizard kid.
Oh, where's the scar? I thought the scar was just a scar he had.
Yeah.
No.
I know. And he had the courage to get up on stage, I believe with a horse, which was I'm really curious because it wasn't a real horse.
What's that? There's a horse in the show?
I'm pretty sure he was with a horse.
I know nothing.
The whole
time. So yeah, okay.
I'm guessing it's not a real horse though. So did they just have a fake horse on stage?
And what were they like comparing?
This is the play. It opens. He walks out and
he's in a robe.
He's in a robe. He takes off his robe. Everyone's shocked because they're like, oh,
and he raises his eyebrows and he goes, eh?
Yeah?
Yeah? He's just looking at everyone in the crowd. Hey, huh?
Not bad, huh?
It's not great.
Yeah.
But not bad.
And then he goes, now I know what you're saying. How could you possibly know if it's bad unless I give you something to compare it to? And I'm a humble man. I'm going to bring out a horse. Bring out the horse. It's full hanging dong.
Yeah.
And he says, he points to it and he goes, now obviously that's bigger. I just want you guys to know that I'm comfortable in my body.
That horse is hung. Am I right, guys? Let's give it up for the horse.
The crowd fucking lose it. They're cheering for 20 minutes straight.
Check this out. And he puts a female horse on the screen. Now the male horse is getting excited, starts to get aroused. And then Radcliffe looks at the crowd and goes, Wingardium Leviosa, huh? Yeah. And then that dick goes straight up.
Really good.
Points
really
to the sky. And it's a hilarious bit.
People love it. To be fair, everyone in the crowd are Harry Potter fans. He's only been in one thing before. There's no one there that's a Daniel Radcliffe fan. Yeah. They're all fans of the franchise.
And it just so happens, though, that one of those Harry Potter fans was a female scientist.
Yeah.
And she's the only one that notices, wait a minute.
I can see right
through Daniel Radcliffe's car.
Hold on a second. Are they attached to that?
What?
What?
All this time I thought that the balls were just the only male weakness.
I was taught in school they were the only male weakness.
Everything that I've ever known about a man, whether it's self-defense classes or it's just when pleasuring a man, or where to avoid, the balls.
Yeah.
That's their weakness.
They're connected.
But they're connected. What's in there?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is there something swimming within this? I think that's boy talk.
Yeah.
So yeah, Radcliffe's big get, Elijah Woodpath kind of guy, does what he wants. You know, you got to respect it. You got to love it.
Oh, both killer talents.
Mm-hmm.
Could play each other, could play brothers in something as well if they wanted to.
Yeah, and both love pizza.
We got him.
We broke. Well, we had to break Elijah. But yeah.
First meeting, we show up. There's only a handful because, you know, we start small. We got the whole pizza crew there. When I say that it's like riding a bike, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
We walk through the door. We got the whole pizza crew. We're talking 10 to 15 people. Mm. We walk through the door. It's one of those things where, like, we're walking up to it.
And they're working like it's a packed house.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Turning out pizzas. Oh. It's a bit of a mess. Yeah. We don't have a place to put them all.
When we were walking up to the doors, they could see the abandoned exterior and they're saying, what have I gotten myself into? I haven't made a pizza for 15 years now. Mm. I've been too busy. I've been oiling. I've made my money oiling.
I'm a multi-billionaire.
Yeah. And so we open up the doors. And then all of a sudden, it was like they were possessed. They went straight in. They knew where they had to be. They were working the ovens. One of them went straight to the till. She's pressing buttons that she didn't even, muscle memory.
Yeah.
It just went straight back into it. And they're running this place like the most efficient pizza, because Pizza Hut was always the most efficient pizza place you could get pizza.
Of course. No, and it's surprising. Just what is it about Pizza Hut employees that makes them keep their uniform?
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about 40-year-olds, you know, that still have the tag, still have the clothes. And look, they haven't worn them since they were 16.
Yeah. I remember we went to one of their house because he was actually a stay-at-home father.
Mm.
We went in and we said, Mr. Burrows was his name.
Yeah.
We said, Mr. Burrows, can we please come in? It's them boys, them bag boys.
You know who we are.
You know, don't make me introduce myself a third time. And he's like, oh my God, come in, guys.
Oh my God. Wow.
I didn't let him finish. And so we sat down and his kids are playing out in the yard. Mm. Honestly, not that cute. Like if I'm being honest, like I've seen cute kids.
Yeah.
These ones were five.
They seem more like a burden. You know, some people, they have kids as a quest to live through them.
Yeah.
Not these duds.
No. Might have been his initial plan, but once his kids got to four, he would have had to have known that, like, there's no future in these two. And you could see it in his face as well. Like, all these people we were visiting were around the same age. I swear to God, this guy looked 10 years older than the rest of them.
Yeah, it was sad. It was definitely sad.
So we're sitting with Mr. Burrows at the table, and we say, and he's made us a coffee. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it was a 5 out of 10 coffee as well. Like, Mr. Burrows.
Look, the place was tidy.
It was a nice
place for two duds running around. Like, you know, there was a few toys here and there.
Yeah.
A couple of comical placements. Like, I definitely could have slipped on a skateboard at some point. Been like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But it didn't happen, luckily. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of slapstick.
And you did say that to him. You looked at the skateboard.
I looked at his decor and I was like, I'm not the biggest fan of slapstick, bud.
He looked confused, but I think he got it.
Yeah.
So we sit down with this guy and we're at his table. And I basically said to him, like, are you ready to heed the call?
Yeah.
And I think he knew what I meant because he said, I knew this day would come.
Mm.
He took us to his bedroom, which is the second floor of his house. As I said, it was a modest house, like two stories, sure.
No, look, it's a fine house.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
But you're not going to say it's more than fine. No, like no, it was fine. We get to his bedroom and he opens his wardrobe. It's a built-in wardrobe type thing. I'm looking around. I'm looking at all his clothes, and he puts his hand past the clothes.
And I'm like, "What's he doing?"
And then he presses the wall, and we hear like a
And
at home, I know you're thinking, like, is this kind of like a Batman style thing? Like the whole wall's going to open? No, it's not.
Did
like
this
that.
Guy opened his doors to us and was just about to reveal his whole vigilante secret I mean, two of the hottest boys.
It's nothing
in
like
town.
That. And I think you're thinking too grand of the thing. It was a simple.
We're flattered.
Yeah, it's great, but it was a simple hidden door.
Yeah,
classic
hidden.
It's just a little compartment.
Yeah.
He clicks it. It was one of those push to open things. The noise is the latch on clack.
Can I say nailed it?
Yeah,
that's a latch.
Yeah, I think it went pretty well. And he opened it up and he pulled out his old Pizza Hut uniform.
Yeah,
pressed.
And he's looking
recently
at it.
Washed.
And that's when I asked him. "Where did it all go wrong? Where did it all go wrong?" And he looked at me and he said, "It went wrong when I got my bitch of a wife pregnant."
Yeah,
and realized that I had to leave my passion behind to make more money to support this family of absolute duds.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, I'm looking at the house, modest house, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I'm like, she's obviously the breadwinner.
Yeah.
You're a stay-at-home father.
She's
out there. Like, I'm not saying that it's not a full-time job, but I'm saying that, like, the bitch of a wife comment to me, it was a bit much.
Bit much. Because obviously he left the pizza business to try and get into something to be the breadwinner, but did not work out.
Yeah.
And look, there's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home
father. Oh, there's nothing wrong with
having a woman be the breadwinner.
It's something about the resentment.
The
resentment he has towards her.
It was the comment.
And that's why I looked at him. I said, like, forget being the breadwinner. Why don't you be a bread maker? I pulled out the garlic bread.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, he didn't see this, but a little behind the back high five between you and I was shared, because that was a one-liner to remember.
But he's back on board, and he's making the best garlic
he's
bread
really
in the game
happy.
At the moment. And
he's
happy.
And, you know, and he brings the kids in sometimes, and they learn a lesson or two, and it's great.
Yeah, and I think there's something about, like, because I'm saying nothing against being a stay-at-home dad.
No.
That's completely fine. But I think the way he goes about it, and you can see the defeatism in him every day, and I think it's nice for his kids to see a bit of passion in their dad's eyes.
That's right.
For
once. And look, we've been a bit harsh on the kids, right?
Yeah.
Because how?
What chance did they have?
To call them duds by they weren't born duds.
No one's born a dud.
No one's born a dud.
But when your dad spends all his day just down in the dumps.
Look, when your dad
blaming the mother for things that she couldn't even control.
When your dad has a secret compartment where he keeps his old Pizza Hut uniform. Look, listen, people. We love that we've reinvented this Pizza Hut and that we've got it going. Look, we don't even have a deal with Pizza Hut.
This
is all off the books.
Yeah.
And they can't touch us because they don't know where the venue is. But
were they going to go, do you know how many old Pizza Hut buildings went on to become new buildings? Zero. Okay.
Yeah.
They're going to have to do a worldwide
search.
You'd
think they were haunted.
Yeah. They're going to have to go to every single abandoned Pizza Hut in the world. I'm sorry. That's a full-time job.
Pizza Hut are busy. Yeah. But to keep the old uniform and to look back as those are the best
days.
Glory
days. Yeah.
It's kind of pathetic.
It is pathetic. He's pathetic. And that's the thing about his kids. Like, yeah, we're calling them duds and things like that. But like, you have to kind of appreciate the fact that, like, you know, if we're doing a 100-meter race, they're not starting at the starting line. They're starting in the car park.
You know
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Their with dad's holding them back.
With the seatbelt on. They're in the car.
Yeah. They're only little kids. They can't even
They're about
a
to leave the race.
Yeah. There's just no
they
chance.
They never got a chance. But you know what? Now that they're actually going to the pizza place with dad sometimes, because he's a stay-at-home father, he has to watch the kids.
Yeah, for sure.
They're actually getting to meet multi-billionaires.
Yeah, they're
meeting oil riggers.
Yeah.
They're meeting celebrities.
Yeah.
Dude, it's honestly, we could have some new talent on our hands. Just
for sure.
That's kind of what we're doing. That's what Sass does.
Yeah. Sass gets kids.
Yeah.
And Sass
puts them in a room with Elijah
puts
Wood.
Puts them in a room.
And Daniel Radcliffe.
Meg Ryan. And we wait for these kids to kind of let that star power rub off on them a little bit. You know what I mean?
The star power finds them.
Yeah.
And touches them in a special way that then they are the talent.
Yeah. And I think that's all it takes, because like, I know there's a lot of debates in Hollywood right now, and people are saying like, oh, Nepo babies. Oh, we hate the idea that, you know, Nepo babies exist. I'm like, that is just star power rubbing off, okay?
Why are they getting all angry at Nepo babies when it's like, so often a famous athlete, their child will grow up to also be, guess what? Very athletic,
you know, crazy.
And then they're in the league and they're the new up and comer. And sure, they're getting a little bit of extra screen time because their dad's Shaq.
Yeah.
Right. But also the kid's 6'7" or some shit.
What are we supposed to do?
Fucking dunking it every time, putting it in the net.
Yeah. You want Shaq's son to go like work at a preschool? It's not going to work. He's too big.
Are you going to try? Are you going to try and put Donald Glover in a box just because his dad's Danny?
Yeah.
It's like, get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. Donald Glover's dad, famously Danny Glover.
Yes.
How else did he get the Star Wars role?
I don't know.
His dad was Lando Calrissian.
That's right.
So we're doing good stuff here. I think at this point, we've been doing this for about a month.
Honestly,
now.
SAS, I think, would be way more off the ground and running if we didn't get so sidetracked on the pizza thing. But the pizza thing is in full flight.
Well, there were times when we're doing this whole pizza thing, we'd look at each other and we're going, are we getting too invested in a small part of this puzzle when we've got so many pieces to put together?
Yeah.
And then it kind of like, we were like, are we wasting our time? But then we started to see how when the pizza thing started rolling, that kind of really built up the other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
No. It knocked over some dominoes that needed to fall.
Very much if you build it, they will come.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. If you cook it. People will eat it.
We're up to, last I checked, like 150 members at this point. Mm-hmm. The first meeting only had the three of them, Daniel Radcliffe, and Elijah Wood, and Meg Ryan.
Those are the ones that we can say.
Yeah.
There is so many more that we can't say because they're still, look, a lot of people want to play both sides here, and mm-hmm. it's a great move.
Yeah.
Professionally, great move. Oh, the writers. I stand with the writers, you know, but really they're chowing down on all they can eat pizza with us making bags.
And it's really easy as well because like all we have to do is change one letter in their name.
Yeah.
Just that's that easy. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
And we're not even doing ones that you'd expect. Like we changed the A to an E.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe. Say it fast enough. You're not even going to notice. Daniel Radcliffe. It's fine.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Elijah Wood. We changed like three letters in that name. Still says Elijah Wood. So it's easy.
Yeah.
That shit's easy. Meg Ryan was harder. Mag Ryan.
Yeah, that was a bit harder.
Mag Ryan. But I think, you know, she's getting so much work as it is. Like, it's no one's going to really notice. They're too busy looking at the full package there.
That's true. Yeah.
So I guess we've kind of gone on a bit of a detour here, but I guess what we're trying to say is at home, don't worry.
Oh, yeah, those who are getting their news from us. Yeah.
Don't worry because them boys, them big bag boys.
Hollywood kids.
The no matter what, Hollywood kids. We're still going to be producing movies, mainly TV shows. We're still going to be producing TV shows for you as often as we can. They're still going to be getting released.
Yeah.
No strikes will stop us. The Screen Actors Society is early stages, but it's very successful already.
Yeah. Look, I mean, listen to the intro, you know, volcanoes, hurricanes, floods. Yeah. What we didn't say in that song specifically is illness. If I get sick, I'm not showing up.
Oh, you can't show up if you're sick.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to get you sick.
Are you
Who's going to go to the pizza place if we're both sick?
Like,
yeah, no. So look, some things will stop us from recording, but.
I'll tell you what won't, strikes.
No.
Drone strikes or rider strikes.
That's right, because every strike's an opportunity to this guy. One elf, a hobbit, a wizard, and a pizza place.
It's good shit.
It's good shit.
It's probably rounding on to TV time.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm pitching.
You're pitching?
I'm pitching, yeah.
Let me hear.
One elf, a hobbit, a wizard, and a pizza place.
An elf. Who's the elf?
Bloom.
Oh, Bloom's on board?
Yeah. Remember we hit him with the Lord of the Rings crap, and he was like, I don't even know what that is. We know that he knew. Well, maybe he forgot. I don't know. The guy is a real airhead.
He's an absolute
gorgeous.
Gorgeous moron.
Gorgeous.
A gorgeous moron.
Hot and dumb. Best place to be.
Yeah, it's very hot. Okay. Well, I'm more than happy. The thing about us is we've tackled a lot of different genres now, but this, I think, will be one of our first like sitcom situation comedies that we've ever done.
Yeah. And I mean, we got the pizza place.
Pizza place. Check.
Yeah.
Done. We don't even have to pay to film there because we own that place.
We own that place and we have all of the staff members.
Oh, they're in it as well.
We'll just tell them that it's another night.
Yeah.
So
we
there'll be some cameras, but look, we'll pay them the usual pizza wage.
You know what?
Yeah. What?
I'm thinking we found a couple of loopholes so far.
Yeah.
I'm thinking we jump straight into another loophole.
Loophole's what we do.
This isn't a sitcom anymore.
I know.
This is a reality TV program. You don't have to right. pay. They're not even breaking the picket lines by being in a reality show. That's fine. They're not acting. That's just them doing their real life. We will have to.
Do we change the name?
No, it's still one elf.
Because they'll still dress up.
Oh, no, they're still dressing up because the thing. Like,
because that's fun. Although, you can do that in real life.
Although it's a reality show, we're going to heavily script it. Every element of this will be scripted.
Look, they all do it, people. Every reality show you've ever seen, okay? We think two people hate each other, just going to sit down and have bacon.
They're not going to do it.
They're not going to do that.
So we open on. I guess. How do we start this? It's a reality show, right?
Yeah. So it's. I guess. Opens on us.
Opens on you and me. Oh, it's about time we got in front of the camera.
It's about time.
We've been behind the camera too long.
We're not acting in this one. It's just us telling the truth.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking, and I assume you're on the same page as me. It opens on crystal clear water.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The camera.
Where you'd rather be.
The camera is facing the ocean, and all of a sudden you see a championship trophy.
Yeah.
Okay. The camera zooms in as close as it can to the championship trophy.
I'll tell you what, just so far, we're having the exact same thoughts. Yeah. I can't believe the words coming out of your mouth. It's like I'm thinking them.
So we open on a championship trophy with water in the background. Mm-hmm. We slowly zoom out.
Like very slow.
Yeah. And the thing is we've paid.
If you think of The Flash?
Yeah.
Ezra Miller.
The opposite of that. Yeah.
But it's like what he sees when he's going that fast.
I got it. It's slow. Yeah, we've paid for the entire track of Highway to Hell and we're using the whole thing.
On this shot.
Yeah. So Highway to Hell's playing. We're slowly panning back. As we're panning back, you can see two hands, one hand on each arm of the championship trophy.
Tight grip. White knuckle.
Got to be a tight grip. And you're thinking, okay, I see two hands in a championship trophy and water in the background, slow zoom out, Highway to Hell is playing. As we get further and further back, you start to see the head, the torso of you and I. We're wearing open Hawaiian shirts.
Oh, it's, yeah.
We're looking good.
The chest hair's out.
We're panning back even further. We're on jet skis. We're each on an individual jet ski.
And it looks amazing.
Oh, yeah. Because
we are going so slow.
We're fucking going fast.
We are pushing these babies to the limit.
But it is going very slow, the show.
So slow.
And we're looking good. You can see that we've been training for this moment.
Oh, yeah.
There's determination in our eyes like you wouldn't believe. And we're slowly panning back. And just for context, in the background, you can hear, I'm on the way to hell. It pans back far enough so that you can see each of us, individual jet ski, holding a championship trophy together.
Yeah.
We pull up. Hard cut to us sitting on chairs being interviewed.
Yeah. And it's just your classic stools. We're just on two stools right next to each other, camera on us.
Yeah, we're wearing our Test Pilot merch hats.
Of course. I mean, we're covered in TP merch.
It's incredible. It's
egregious.
Yeah. Oh, no, disgusting. Yeah. Disgusting. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Yeah. And then, lower thirds come on the screen. It says our names. It says our positions.
Yeah.
And we start talking to the camera and we say,
SAG sucks.
Big letters. It stamps the screen. Sucks.
Sucks fucking sucks. SAG sucks. And we are out here to try and capitalize on how bad they're doing with their actors.
Yeah. And then we'll cut to a couple of
it's the recruitment phase.
We'll cut to a couple of shots from movies of actors crying.
Yeah.
And we'll make it look like they're crying about
outside
SAG.
Of the SAG building. Yeah. Is there a SAG building? There is.
Yeah.
In this. It says SAG on the front.
Like we always do, we've put a name tag on it. We put a name tag on a building. Of course. It says SAG. You know that's a SAG building. We've got famous actors. We've got a scene from Interstellar where Matthew McConaughey's
Drift. Yeah.
He's crying. He's crying at his daughter aging. We just chuck that right next to the SAG building. No one will notice.
He's just crying, looking at the SAG building, just crying because we've cut it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We really use a lot of our budget on the editing of this one and it really shows. It's actually really a really, really good show. And so we say SAG sucks. SAG sucks.
SAG fucking sucks.
We need to do something about this whole SAG thing.
We're introducing to you SASS. It's like SASS, SASS, this is a sexy SASS.
Yeah. And then you can just hear someone go, I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, what is this SASS thing all about?
Yeah. And then we do a slow pan back.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got like a...
slightly faster than the opening one.
We use
one.
A lot of time on that.
Yeah, so yeah. Because look, that opening was about 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah. Not a wasted second though.
No, we did play Highway to Hell three times within that opening.
Yeah, there was no limits on like the
I'm
thing.
I'm actually
is,
not sure of the runtime of.
Yeah.
But whatever it is.
But the thing is, if
fits
we.
Fits into about 10.
We used a crossfade on the song.
Oh, you
so
can barely
you can
notice
never
it.
Really tell no, when no. it ends.
And that's that, because when I hear Highway to Hell, that's what I like to think. It's like, well, it's like, where does it end? Am I in hell? Hell's kind of like a forever thing. So we made it so that in the edit, at a certain point, you don't know what you're watching.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's because it takes a while to even realize it's a trophy. That's how slowly we're pulling out.
It looks just, to be honest, it looks just like your TV's broken.
Yeah,
You've got an amount of bronze on your screen that you've never seen before.
Yeah.
And you're not used to it.
Yeah, it's overwhelming.
But that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to overwhelm the senses at the start because they're in for the first, I'm going to be honest, the first 20 minutes of this episode is like after the 10 minute opening.
Yeah.
It's pretty dull. Like to be honest, it's not our best work.
Look, we dialed it in. The problem was is that we filmed the interviews after the jet ski scenes and we had a lot of fun on those jet skis. Yeah. I was pooped.
Yeah. There's a lot of moments where we're looking noticeably tired. We are absolutely exhausted. You can see bags under our eyes. We're sitting on these chairs and yawning. And then every now and then, and we tried to get this out of the edit, but we couldn't get it out of the edit. You can hear us under our breath saying, this is bullshit. I wish I was back on the fucking jet ski.
How much longer do we have the jet skis for? Because it was a hire.
Yeah, and we're like, we are wasting time here. We can film this. Like, I know we got to film this shit show.
We've got jet skis for 2 more hours.
We've got them 2 more hours. What the fuck are we doing in here?
Yeah, so that was a problem.
There's a full audience there listening to our every word.
Because we decided to do it live.
They're so excited to hear what we're saying, but you can tell we've got jet ski fever at this point.
Oh, yeah. No, and we did, to tell you the truth, we'd say we were taking just like personal breaks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, mental health breaks.
Mental health breaks, yeah.
But we were on those jet skis.
We came back absolutely sopping wet.
We were soaked.
They had to know.
Jet skis were so fun, but they didn't say anything because they were feared for their jobs.
And the best shit is we were wearing... We were telling them as well because we'd come back and we'd have the tags.
We had the tags. Because, you know, they've got those little curly tags that you plug in to get the engine going.
Plug the engine going. But they're dangling from our wrists.
We didn't know if we were going to run back.
Yeah. You needed to be quick. And yeah, every now and then when I'd be talking as well, you could just see my right hand throttling. I'm using the throttle. You could just tell.
You were just... man.
We'd look at each other and I'd say...
We should buy some. Yeah. We should buy some.
My mental health is feeling pretty low. And then we'd both look at each other in the eyes and we'd throttle our hands.
And I'd look at you and I'd say, what? And I'd look at the camera and go, what kind of friend would I be if I let him go on his own?
Yeah.
For his mental health to break.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with, we're going. And we'd leave. Then we'd come back. Sucked. And then I'd say... You know what? That was quite taxing on me looking after Mark right there. We got to duck out for me now.
Yeah.
We go back right back out
Come
there.
Back. We've still got the life vests on.
We're making dolphin sounds because we saw a pod.
We saw a pod.
That was beautiful, man. I'd never seen them that close before.
I wish we got that bit on film. That would have made an amazing opening.
That'd be the best show.
Oh, it'd be so good. So we come back.
But yeah, so we're like.
We're in front of a live audience.
Here's SASS. SASS is great. But you know, sometimes it's not enough just to present hot idiots with a life changing idea. You got to bring them in with a little bit of that taste. So we're gonna we found a building. We can't tell you where the building is for obvious reasons.
Yeah,
it's an abandoned Pizza Hut. We're bringing back all you can eat Pizza Hut.
Yeah, you guys, I know the audience. We said we're bringing back all you can eat Pizza Hut. The audience. Standing ovation, cheering. They're going like, yes, I can't believe it's happening. And then we wait for them to calm down and we say, just to clarify, none of you guys in this audience are invited to this Pizza Hut. This is purely an A-lister Pizza Hut location.
Look, we're bringing back all you can eat Pizza Hut, but not for any of you, none for you.
I point at someone in the crowd like, you sir, stand up. He stands up and I go, okay,
I'm sorry. I thought you were Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
Sit down.
Sit down. You in the front row. Quickly give me your name. I'm on IMDb right now. Mm-hmm. Can I quickly hear your name? She says like Megan something. I look it up.
Oh, we get excited for a sec.
I think it's Megan Fox.
It could be.
Yeah. I'm like, Megan.
It's dark. We've got bright lights on us. We can't see.
Say that second name. She said Megan Fox. I'm like, you are literally so close, love. I look it up and I go, sorry, Megan
Fox. A few questionable image searches popped up when you typed in Megan's box. Sorry, Megan Fox. But
eventually I find out that this lady
doesn't exist on the internet. She doesn't even have a Facebook.
Dude, it's actually kind of scary.
It's fucking weird. It's like, are you off the grid?
Yeah.
Does anyone know you're here?
Yeah. And so we go pretty deep into that for a while.
Yeah.
Like we start to lose our fucking mind.
We actually invite her on the jet skis.
Yeah. And she says she's allergic.
For a mental break? Allergic to what?
To what?
Are you allergic to
is it the water?
Is it vibrations?
It could be the vibrations, could be the water.
Fuel?
Could be sea air? Fuel?
Yeah.
Maybe it's the nylon material on the jet.
She went real quiet though after she said that she was allergic. She just stopped talking.
Yeah.
We had to move on.
We didn't have enough time to go into it.
Yeah.
But there's something like at her core.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with that woman.
There's something seriously wrong with Megan Fox.
She's got no internet presence and she's allergic to jet skis.
What does that mean, Mark? We never got to the bottom of that.
Really, it's actually at the time I had jet ski fever at the time. And so I was honestly, when she was talking, I was waiting for her to stop talking just so I could get back on that ocean. But now
arm was going there. I was revving the engine again. Sorry. Sometimes the fever creeps back up.
Anytime I hear jet ski, it's like I think back and I can hear the dolphin noises.
We gotta buy some. We saw a pod.
Are they even expensive? Like how much is a jet ski gonna
cost us? So fucking stacked to the sky.
It's crazy. There's a lot of money, but like, is the maintenance the thing? Like, is it cheaper in the long run just to like, whenever we want to use a jet ski, just rent them? You know what I mean? Like,
maybe, yeah, because, you know, we have to be by the water and we can just get the jet skis brought to the water whenever we're the water.
We've got a jet ski guy now.
Like, we do have a jet ski guy.
Like Tommy, he was...
Tommy, yeah.
He was actually kind of
Tommy
sick.
Tommy Skis. I love him.
He was really cool.
Skis spelled S-K-E-E-Z. Yeah. It's his real last name. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You can't make that up.
Google him. He actually has an internet presence.
Tommy Skis.
He's all over it.
He's not like Megan Fox.
He's all over the internet. That guy's actually one of the coolest.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he did this thing, and at first I thought it was kind of whack, but then like I found myself later on, I was doing it too,
right.
Where what he would do is when he wasn't wearing his sunglasses, he'd flip it and he'd put them on backwards so that the visor part
hooked
was on the back of his head.
Yeah.
And I was
like, I saw you doing that. That was a skis
that
move?
That was a skis move. Oh. I saw him do it. And at first I was like, that makes no sense. But you know what happened?
What happened?
I'm on the jet ski. Uh-huh. I'm wearing my sunglasses. I'm having a great time. I figure, I don't really need my sunglasses right now. Usually, day-to-day life, what do? I take them off and I put them in.
You got to close them. And sometimes like that, the closing mechanism can be hard.
That's hard for one thing.
It's like, does it flip down and around or does it flip just straight down? And it's different on every pair of glasses.
That confuses me. And also, it's like I'll usually put them in the front of my shirt.
That's a great place. You're blowing my mind because as of right now, that's all I would do. I'd stick them right there, right down the front of the shirt. And that's where they'd sit.
But when you're on the jet ski, and I think skis knows this, when you're on the jet ski, you don't have the luxury of a shirt.
Well, plus you're going boom, boom, you're bouncing.
It's not safe. And so
unless you're a loser, you're not wearing a life vest.
Absolutely not. And so what I've done is I've put it on, I've gone, okay, I've seen skis do something. So I put them on the back of my head, safe, secure. And they're not covering my eyes, so I felt great about it.
Locked in. And, I mean, is it comfy?
It felt just like I was wearing them on the normal front way,
right,
which is
backwards. But the back way.
Yeah, I think they're designed to be able to be worn either way.
Yeah.
And I think skis knew that.
Skis, I mean, look, a wealth of knowledge to be gained from skis. And that's why, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's better to have a jet ski guy. But anyway, standing ovation. Then that goes.
Everyone's so excited.
Then that goes into the Megan Fox stuff, which was weird and definitely scarring for me. But we get past that. And then we like, look, none of you are going in this audience, and that's just because you have no clout, you have no fame.
You're not even famous actors.
You're not hireable to us.
But we'll
tell you who was hireable to us, and then that goes into some prepared clips that we have.
Yeah.
You know, where guys like, my name's Mr. Burrows, up until them Hollywood boys stepped into my life, I was just raising a couple of duds from home.
Yeah.
Then it goes
we really didn't do those kids service in the edit. Like, we put fart noises over them when they walk.
Yeah. One of them was like, not even fat, but we'd like,
the old trombone feet type thing.
Yeah, dude.
And so, yeah, we really fuck those kids up in the edit. But that's the thing. Like,
I mean, how much is it us and how much is it just their father calling them duds?
That's the thing. He says they were duds.
He said, we're looking around when we first entered his two-story house, clean enough.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm looking at all these toys. I'm like, you like to skate, you know, because the skateboard was in the corner. He goes, oh, no, that's dud number ones. And I was like, dud number ones? What does that possibly mean? It's like, well, it's not dud number two. And I'm like, well, obviously, if there's a one, there's a two.
Yeah.
And he's like, he just pointed.
You could tell which one as well.
He just pointed and I looked out and I was like, oh, what the hell? And honestly, like, it's, you know, it really comes out in the edit, but in my head, I could hear fart sounds when those two kids are running around.
No, I get it. It's not their fault. And he did mention
we touched on that. It's not their fault.
The kid can't even kickflip.
Yeah.
And he was like, what's the point in having the skateboard? He doesn't even try.
Yeah. So, and then the dad was like, well, you see one of his legs, sometimes it just doesn't work. And we're like, what do you mean? Sometimes it just doesn't work. And we saw it work because he was running and then he just fell. He
just fucking fell.
And then he was on the skateboard. Just
Handsing it. Flying on his tummy and using his hands. I was like, mate, it wasn't designed to be like that.
No.
That's not what it was built to
be. Unless you're just fanging it down a hill and you want to lie on it. That's a bit of fun. That's a bit of danger. It's like a luge.
Yeah, sometimes it's nice to feel like a bit of danger in your life. But not for this kid. He's not old enough to really be a thrill seeker, flatliner, you know.
He never had a chance. But
all.
We have the little clip of Mr. Burrows and then it cuts to us going into, you know, this is like the end of the first step, you know, because we spent so much time on the jet ski.
I did say the first 20 or so minutes after the jet ski were quite boring. And I think that's because the first 20 or so minutes, we go over a lot of the Pizza Hut employees, okay?
Oh, yeah. And whenever we go off for our mental health breaks, the camera's still rolling.
Yeah.
It's just two seats in a room.
We did not figure out how to turn that camera off. And it's okay. I think it's fine because you can kind of hear the audience murmuring. You can clearly hear jet ski noises in the background as well. We filmed so close to the ocean.
Oh, yeah. No, like, just so people know, this room that we're in, because we're in a very standard square room.
That's
just four walls that we erected on the pier.
Yeah, for sure.
We're like, the jet skis are right fucking there. We're like, we need to take a moment. Actually, I need a bathroom break.
Yeah. And the thing is, we're
taking off.
We're still mic'd up as well. We didn't have time to take off the mic. I think they could hear us on their jet skis and talk about how excited we were to be back on the jet skis.
We need to get those tapes because we were actually pitching some really great ideas. While riding on those jet skis. I think they were all jet ski related, but really, really good stuff.
No, we're good. I think in our future, I can definitely see like a jet ski related channel full of jet ski related programming happening.
Oh my God. Yeah.
100%.
Like Shark Week, but it's jet skis.
Yeah.
And it's.
Imagine 24 hours a day.
Oh, yeah.
7 days a week.
All year.
364 days a
year. That's it.
We take one day off in respect for 9/11.
Of course. And also just so we can have a full day where we can just. Yeah. If we have a jet ski. We got him episode.
You wouldn't believe how well it works.
Look, I will admit a few of our scripts for our existing shows are going to have a jet ski up. We really have gone on a tangent. It's stopped now. We've gone back to the regular planning, but you know, there's in Tiger Blood, there's a jet ski episode. Okay.
It's so wild to think that 100% there was someone who was on their jet ski fanging it, having a good time.
Is there any other way to be on a jet ski than to just full pelt?
Like a hoon.
Who goes slow on a jet ski?
But there's someone who's had a big fang jet ski session and then at the end of the session has pulled out their phone, looked at it and had said, oh shit, no, we got him.
We just got Bin Laden.
Yeah.
We got him. That had to have happened. A few people.
100%. Oh, there'd be at least 100. Minimum.
Worldwide?
Yeah.
Of course.
Minimum.
Yeah. So didn't they dump his body in the ocean? I think they're on jet skis when they did it.
A lot of people think that like they came back by a boat, but that's not the quickest way to travel on the ocean. These are fucking Navy SEALs. Do you think they ride in boats? Motherfucker, no. They ride in jet skis.
Just like they ride on motorcycles when they're on the ground.
100%. And then I've said this to you before, and I think it was on the jet ski. Yep. I said it too many times, but I kept looking at you and saying, this is just the motorbike of the ocean.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think you agreed.
And it was when, because you were going over waves and you were like, this is like a wheelie yeah. on a bike.
Yeah.
This is the motorcycle of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I was just nodding and grinning ear to ear.
Because you were thinking it.
And I knew you were living your best life in that moment. Yeah. Because you love motorbikes, scared to ride them.
No, they're terrifying because when you fall off motorbike, you hit the ground. It's disgusting.
No gravel and dirt and like you can bleed.
Yeah, yeah. There's no blood in the ocean.
There's no blood in the ocean.
There's none of it.
There's no blood in the ocean.
So we go over the Pizza Hut employees for a while, and I can tell at this point, like the crowd's getting bored. And that's when they
see the SAG building again. Yeah. And they go, "What? Why are we back here? I thought they hated SAG."
And we've only at this point,
we're approaching picket fences.
We've only revealed the bottom half of the title of the show.
Yeah.
So they think it's just called And a Pizza Place. Which, to be fair, is quite a good title. But then they're like, why is this just called And a Pizza Place?
And a Pizza Place. All lowercase.
All of a sudden, we unveil the top part.
Yeah.
An elf.
An elf first.
An elf.
We do it brick by brick, you know? And then suddenly Orlando Bloom's on the screen.
Yeah.
Hubba, 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 hubba.
People are in the crowd, they're like salivating.
I know him. He's been a pirate.
Yeah.
He's been a hot elf.
He's been a hot elf.
He played the hot pirate again.
Again.
He did that. And the hot elf?
Two more times.
Two additional times.
So there was
three hot elves.
I got to say.
What's this?
The Hobbit series came. He played that hot elf an additional three times.
He's in that film.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
He's been in six hot elf movies.
So he's been a hot elf six times.
Six times.
And you know what? Was he in the third pirate film?
I think he's been in all of them. I might be wrong.
So that's like nearly 4 to 18 times.
Yeah, we're getting up to like almost 10 films where he plays a hot something.
That's right.
So like you
so
know.
So everyone's like, hubba, hubba, hubba.
And they've always, at this point, they're like, I really want to know what kind of guy he is.
Some guy's freaking out. They're like, what's wrong with his ears? Because he's seen him as a hot elf so many times.
And another guy next to him is like, forget about the ears. Where's his hat?
Yeah.
Because he's only seen him as the hot pirate.
That's right.
So these guys are talking and
the fight breaks out.
They are absolutely throwing fists.
We're on jet skis. We actually only heard about this once we got back.
Yeah, we're busy.
We're busy.
But these guys are fucking brawling, all right? They've both brought a couple of friends. We smacked the camera on that. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So this is where that 10 minutes that was boring.
It starts to get a bit exciting because these audience members, they're kicking the shit out of each other.
And we didn't know what to focus on. So we have half the screen is the interview of us with Orlando Bloom and half of it is just these two guys going at it.
They are like-
It's bare knuckle boxing.
It is insane. There's blood, there's teeth, there's children screaming in the audience. By the way,
we said don't bring your kids to this.
Yeah.
They brought their kids.
It was their fault. The kids got hit.
Couple of duds.
So- After that fight's broken out, we go back to the interview and it's us with Orlando Bloom.
And we're prunking him. We're hitting him hard saying, you know, Lord of the Rings for nerds, losers. And now he is visibly sweating.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's panicking.
Yeah. Still hot. He's a hot sweater.
Oh, he's a hot sweater. Honestly.
I'll say that.
You know, there's a difference between when you sweat and when you glisten.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he glistens.
He is definitely a glistener.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we play the thing. It's clear he's in at the end of it. Then, you know, the audience
is like, I can be sassy. It's like, yeah. Yeah.
You bet you can.
You bet you can.
And then we cut to him walking into the Pizza Hut. He walks into the Pizza Hut. The staff already at this point, we've established they're there. They're
Look,
making
the,
some
the
good
the staff and us converting them and bringing them back, that's dabbled in throughout the show. So, you know, Orlando Bloom walks in and he goes, huh, this place is pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
This place is the best Pizza Hut. All you can eat place I've ever been to.
For sure. Thank God
it's back. And then that's when Susie walks up and goes, hi, welcome. Hubba, hubba. She can't help herself. Jaws on the floor. But she leads him to a table and that's when we go into the Susie story, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
You know, retention's starting to drop. And then-
Susie the oil rigger.
One
working
elf,
on the oil rig.
One hobbit.
Yeah.
Elijah pops on the screen.
Well, the way it happens is- Orlando's at the table. He's Susie's blah, 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 blah. We spent too much time on Susie already. And then all of a sudden he looks to the table next to him and Elijah Wood's sitting there.
And he says, Elijah,
what are you doing here?
And Elijah looks at him and his eyes are a little bit dull. The life is drained from a little bit. And he goes, after considering it, I realized it was my best course of action. Yeah.
You're probably wondering how I got here. Flashback to Elijah Wood. We've explained what happened, how he got there.
Yeah, just rewind the episode. Yeah, we
saw
it
that on camera. He's not right at this point. As you said, his eyes are glazed. No. We've done some permanent damage.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like Sin City.
Mm-hmm.
The small role he did in Sin City.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he has the glasses on and it's like all shined over and he just seems like he's dead inside or just like some sort of weird caged animal.
So at this point we've set up, you know.
Yeah, Elijah's a bit dead inside.
We've set up, you know, we got the elf. We got the hobbit. Who else do we have to get?
The wizard.
The wizard. Now, who was the wizard?
Radcliffe
the wizard. I can't believe I'm
Radcliffe the translucent.
Because the thing is, I was looking at it, I'm looking at Meg Ryan and I'm looking at Radcliffe. I'm like, which one of these were the wizard?
Right.
And it was Radcliffe. I'm remembering
Meg,
now.
Meg could play a fantastic wizard.
Oh, dude. Have you seen You've Got Mail? She's basically a wizard of emailing
that's
in
right.
that movie.
Yeah.
And she gets the bookstore.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she delivers the books like magic.
We haven't actually mentioned, we haven't gone into how we actually got Radcliffe on board, have we?
Oh, yeah.
Because
got into his, how he, you know, sort of helped science.
Yeah.
But no, we didn't actually go into the story of, and it's a doozy.
This is a bit interesting. So, like, unlike the other people.
This is how we close off the first episode as well.
Yeah.
Radcliffe's story. And then obviously we have the rest of the show, the season, getting into the pizza and just the wacky things that go on.
It'd be like Meg Ryan coming
Meg
soon.
Meg Ryan comes in.
Because we need something to get people to watch the second episode.
Yeah, but she doesn't get into the main title.
No, absolutely.
It's just the title's getting too long.
What are we supposed to write? An elf, a hobbit.
One elf, one hobbit, and a wizard.
Plus one star.
A wizard and a pizza place and a Ryan or a Meg.
Meg. And it got a bit too confusing. So we decided to leave her out of the title entirely.
I switched off.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, she...
Jet skis really tire you.
Meg Ryan's lovely. She's a lovely woman. Ooh, she does some really good work, but she's not the star of this show.
Well, no, and nothing against her, of course. Like, she's... Trust us, guys. Now that she's a part of SAS, we've got something for Meg Ryan. We'll get into that in a later episode. We'll let you know when as soon as it's time.
Let's just say her talents were not best used in this show, but we've got something
my fucking God.
All you Meg fans, get excited.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, rev those jet skis. Vroom, vroom. It's getting close.
So unlike the other people that we just picked up on the picket lines, we were looking around and we're like, all right,
Radcliffe checked it off. He was deep in the mountains, in his private residence, deep in the Himalayas.
And he had done a lot for science at this point. And I think, honestly, it got to his head a bit because, the translucent penis had kind of done a lot for humanity. And I think part of him, there was an element of like,
the problem was he started to think that he was more than just an actor.
Yeah.
And we needed to bring him back down.
Back down to actor. And it was that thing where it's like, you know, the guy's only making hits. He's done Harry Potter, the biggest films in the world.
Obviously. But the thing is that he's trying to remove himself from being a wizard.
Yeah.
And what do we call him in this show? A wizard. Right? So we needed to remind him of what he really is and where his worth comes from.
So we've done an expedition and into the mountains and it wasn't
easy.
We had some Sherpas.
We lost a couple. I had to eat one.
Not all of the Sherpas made it.
Hypothetically, we ate one to survive.
Yeah.
Allegedly, one didn't get home.
The thing is, the way it's edited in the thing, I don't think you can notice, but we have a team of like 10 Sherpas behind us. Yep. And we start to get quite thin as the show's going on because we're not eating too much. And then we have 5 Sherpas and we're looking pretty plump.
Let's just say there's a really good shot and I love this shot. I've actually got a still image of it.
Yeah.
I'm picking my teeth with a toothpick.
It's so funny.
But if you zoom in on that toothpick, it's bone shard.
It's bone shard.
Allegedly.
It's all bone shard.
Allegedly. Hypothetically. I mean, look, it's a show. Like we said, heavily scripted.
Heavily scripted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are documentary elements in it, but this isn't one of them.
No, 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 definitely not. But we find the house. We find the house. And look, honestly, 10 Sherpas took a while, Is it our fault or is it incompetence on their end?
Yeah.
Okay. They told us they were the best fucking Sherpas. They knew the area.
Yeah.
They said, oh, Harry Potter. And they, we show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It took a while. Honestly, I'm hungry. It took almost 6 hours and it was maximum a 4 hour walk. So like I'm getting annoyed at this point, even thinking about the Sherpas. Like,
look, stopping for meal time, it was about 8 hours.
Yeah, true. There's prepping. There's a lot of work to be done.
Allegedly.
So we meet up with Daniel and he's living in a house, modest house, I'd say three-story house.
Three-story house, but that's the thing. It goes down.
It's one of those ones where like two of the stories are subterranean.
That's right.
Which was kind of cool. Got a bit dank in those areas.
Very dank down the very bottom.
I don't think he quite anticipated the amount of upkeep that it takes to have a subterranean house.
Like, yeah. He also said there's a fourth floor and I said, can we see? And he said, no, you can't.
Yeah. I don't think when he built the house there, he had considered mold. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
You think he's a big Hollywood hotshot. You know, he's been in Harry Potter. He's been in the naked horse thing.
That's right.
And he's kind of thinks that like the world revolves around him. But it's like Daniel, like you can't just stop mold with your thoughts.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, like
there were definite corners of the house that you could tell he hadn't been to. Potentially.
Yeah. And you're in the middle of nowhere, Daniel. Do you need a four-story subterranean layer? I don't think you do. You could have done fine on just that top layer.
The weirdest part is that he had no staff.
No staff.
It was just him in there.
Yeah.
It was just him in there. And I got the feeling that there was a lot of brooms in one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And I feel like he thinks he's really magic and he was doing like a Fantasia thing.
I think, honestly.
Because there was buckets and there was water everywhere.
I was getting Fantasia vibes.
And that's where the mold from the water was really starting to grow.
It was disgusting. It smelled. The whole place smelled.
So here I thought we were going there to remind him of his worth as a magic man.
Yeah.
But what we found was a broken man.
Yeah. And to be honest,
truly believed magic was real.
That did work in our favor. Because had we done this perilous 8 hour journey and had we got there and he was, you know, top of the world, you know, he's just, you know, he was Harry Potter. He's been in the dick horse play. And he's kind of top of the world, biggest actor in the world his mind. Had we got there and he would had that ego on him, I don't know if we're getting him for this program.
No, his purchase of a dank mountain home, subterranean mountain home, was definitely his undoing.
Yeah,
because you know when you got a hard set vase, you can't really mold that. You know, an unbroken man is like a beautiful piece of art. It's a vase.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Beautiful. Yeah,
but a broken man is clay.
Clay. And you can mold clay.
Mold clay into whatever shape you need.
And I remember during the Dick Horse musical, he said on stage, like, I don't give a fuck about any Screen Actors Guild. I don't give a fuck. And he's like, I'm in it, but like, I'll stay there forever. I don't even care about that shit. So I already knew we had our work set out for it.
I think he actually said guild. Sounds like some Dungeons and Dragons shit. And we're like, wow, that's what we've been saying.
So when we got to him with the guild information, how we weren't a guild, how we were a society, he's already like, okay.
He's like, sass, love it.
Yeah, love it. I'm already on board. And I was like, okay, wow.
Bit eager.
Yeah. Then we had to broach the wizard subject. But he's broken at this point and we say, Daniel, I know you've done a lot of other things besides Harry Potter. Like we remember when you were in the Dick Horse musical.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's when he looked at us in the eyes and he says, I'm not actually a wizard.
Yeah.
And he said this like he'd tried, you know, like it was trial and error. Like he'd learnt this.
Yeah.
And that was evident with the whole
thing. I think the fourth floor, something happened there. If I'm being honest, he really didn't want us on that fourth floor. And the state of the other three floors was so bad that I'm just thinking about.
And it was getting worse.
How bad that fourth floor could have been. Exactly,
like a shit-laid cake.
So that fourth floor must have been disgusting. He must have tried some dark magic there, I'm thinking.
I'm thinking blood magic.
I'm thinking blood magic too.
Not his blood. Not a scar on him.
No.
You know, which is ironic because of the whole...
The whole you can
lightning bolt scar, thing
and you can see right.
You
through
can see right through. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's the problem. I think he has paper thin skin, so if he were to be cut, he'd never stop bleeding.
Yeah, he gives off that vibe. But so we approached him and we were like,
he patches wounds with wafers.
He says, "I'm not a wizard," and we go, "Well, Daniel, don't, we understand that. We get you're not an actual wizard. Yeah. But what we're saying is the world right now is a scary place. And he's looking at all the mold and he's like, you're telling me I'm terrified every day. And I say, the world right now needs a wizard.
Yeah.
Are you willing to take the call? In the past, you've helped humanity. You were the man that taught us about the inside of penises.
That's right.
Daniel?
Yeah, without even trying.
You didn't even
just
have to
existing.
Try. Just by existing. And we're asking you once again, you don't even have to try. Just come.
Share your magic with the world.
Just come with us to an abandoned Pizza Hut. Meg Ryan will be there.
What?
And he's like,
wow. What? Sorry, did you say an abandoned Pizza Hut?
Yeah.
And then I noticed that you did this again, and it's honestly, it works 10 out of 10 every single time, works every time. You've unzipped that little bag.
Yeah.
And the garlic bread smell has wafted into the room. And you know what? I didn't think I'd enjoy the smell of mold and garlic mixing together.
About it.
But there was something about it. Yeah. Like a moldy cheese. It almost had like a sort of like a blue vein kind of smell to it.
And once that hit his nose, we saw the dollar signs in his eyes.
Hey, it's your magic spell.
Yeah. We're basically wizards at this point. And we saw him and he was like, he looked at us and he said, them boys.
He said, do whatever you want with me. And that was when we knew we had him.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, do what you want with my mortal flesh. And I was like, that's a bit strong.
Mm-hmm.
Bit creepy. Daniel.
But, you know, at the end of the day, we got him. And so he's in the show.
And all of that's televised and, you know, that's in the clip.
Yeah. We just kind of mentioned that next episode you might see more Meg Ryan. There's a big crew at the back of the live audience. They're excited about that. They've come solely for Meg Ryan, and we haven't really impressed them too much in the episode, but we'll get them next episode.
The fight was awesome.
Dude, a couple of them got hurt. Yeah, a couple of them got hurt in that fight.
Yeah.
But the ones that didn't get hurt had a great time.
Yeah, no, another fight nearly broke out with one of the guys from the first fight,
because
the other one obviously was taken away in an ambulance. When he saw Elijah Wood standing next to a person and he was like a similar height to them. And he was like, what is this, Hobbit land? He goes, well, no, that's a normal sized guy. Someone said in the crowd, he's not actually that small.
Yeah. But we had already at that point, we'd got a security guard in just to sit next to him.
That's
and
right.
He kind of held him down.
He calmed him down. He actually put, he put earmuffs on him and started reading him a book.
Yeah.
And that calmed him down. I think it was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, that guy.
Lord of the Rings.
One track mind, that guy. Like,
Lord of the Rings 2. Yeah. Well, I respect it, you know, and like that's what today's audience, more and more people are like that.
Yeah.
You know, where they don't, that's why we do the name tags.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we make sure that everything is clear as possible for these dum-dums. That guy, I respect him because he's probably one of our biggest fans.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And if he's not out there watching all the shit we're producing, then we're not going to be able to afford a jet ski guy.
Speaking of jet skis, It's Jet.
It's a time for our final plane break of the episode.
Final plane break. And it's going to be super short. Ready?
Quickest plane break we've ever had.
Quickest plane break we've ever had. You barely heard the jet.
Yeah. Well, I think, and we basically hit credits then. For the credits, we just kind of do like we use the initial scene, but play it backwards and really fast. Because it's only two credits, it's just your name and my name.
Yeah.
And so we just play it quite fast and zooms into the trophy.
Back into the trophy.
Yeah, quite fast.
Brass and then nightmare.
Episode ends, and, that's just another great TV show.
I mean, like, obviously, we're in it. It's greenlit. That's obvious.
Yeah. No. The second I saw myself on camera, I was like, okay, this is going to syndication.
I saw you on camera and I was like, I can get used to that. I was like, that's a handsome man right there.
This is going to syndication.
And honestly,
this is 100 episodes minimum.
It took us a few tries, but when we figured out how to go at the exact same speed and be, honestly, perfect tandem with each other, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
I felt your energy flowing through the trophy.
Yeah.
What's the trophy for again?
Just for being the best boys of the episode.
That's right. That's right. The trophy it's our trophy.
It's our trophy.
That's right.
Because we did a couple of things best that episode. We were the best hosts of that episode.
Yep.
We were definitely the best jet skiers of that episode.
Oh, dude. No one else was allowed on them.
And, we were the best at making episodes. And this is another episode of No Matter What. I hope you at home enjoyed hearing a great new television show that will be coming to air maybe 2 to 3 weeks from now. We really got to push these out because we don't know how long the strike will last. And as I've said, we got to get that bag during the strike.
Yeah, Yeah, I think Cassie got an email which made her think that she's on strike.
No.
That she's not on strike. And we have to remind her of that she's not allowed to go on strike. That's actually in her contract.
So next week there'll be a new episode of Test Pilot, I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Thank you at home for listening, and have a fantastic Tuesday at 1 p.m. for one person.
Yeah.
That's going to blow their mind.
They're going to be like, what the fuck? Are they talking to me?
How did he know? He was wrong, but how did he know?
How did he know that I thought about listening at 1 p.m.?
Cyclone, hurricane, earthquake, flood, volcanic eruption, or a river of blood. We'll be here even if we get shot, so listen up now for some no matter what.